Today's daf is Pei Dalet. We'll start at Pei Gimel Amud Bet at the Mishnah. HaMochir Rosh Behema Gasa Lo Machar Et HaRaglayim. This Mishnah is basically discussing standard practice. Obviously, if there's a particular Minhag HaMakom that's different from this, then it's going to go based on the Minhag HaMakom. But this Mishnah is assuming we don't really know the standard Minhag. We're going to go by what we think the basic is. So again, we're talking about someone who sells certain items, and what's the assumption about what's included? So if you sell the head of a large animal, the assumption is it doesn't include the legs. Machar et haraglayim, if you sell the legs, the assumption is lo machar et harosh. Because the animal is big, the assumption is each part is an independent unit and therefore goes on its own. Machar et kaneh. Lo machar ta kaved, machar ta kaved, lo machar ta kaneh. If you sell the windpipe, it doesn't include the liver. If you sell the liver, it doesn't include the windpipe. The assumption is these are two big, again, parts of the animal that are unique, independent parts. People don't sell them together. Aval, but it is opposed to the large animal, a small animal, we're going to see that certain parts are considered secondary to other parts. So therefore, if you sell the larger part or the more important part, it's going to include the less important part. Whereas if you sell the less important part, it's only going to be the less important part and it's not going to include the other part. Aval b'deka macharet harosh, macharet haraglayim. If you sell the head, which is a bigger part, then it includes the legs. Not exactly sure what they mean when they say the head. The head of an animal. Nobody eats the head of an animal, so.
Maybe they did.
Right, maybe they ate it. I don't know. Anyway, according to this interpretation at least, the head is more important than the legs, right? If I was reading this Mishnah with my eyes, I would say the legs are the part we eat, the head we don't, be the opposite. But the way I read it interpreted was that the head is more important, and therefore that includes the raglayim. But machar ta raglayim, lo machar ta rosh. If you sell the legs, it doesn't include the head. Machar ta kaneh, machar ta kaved. Again, you sell the windpipe. I would also think this was the opposite. You sell the windpipe, it includes also the liver, but machar ta kaveh, lo machar ta kaneh. If you sell the liver, it doesn't include the windpipe. Arba midot b'machrim. Now we're going to talk about four different types of sales, and this is going to connect a little bit, and the Gemara will for sure connect it back to ona'ah, okay, where we learned about if someone takes advantage of somebody else and sells him something for a higher price or undercharges him. So one side could be chozerbo. We're going to talk about this. We're now going to see four cases where potentially one side could be chozerbo or maybe no one could be chozerbo. Here it's not going to be so clear-cut ona'ah, whereas he's being overcharged, but it's that you're not exactly getting what you ordered. Okay, you order something and it comes out a little different. Machar lo chitin yafot v'nimtzu'u ra'ot. Okay, here we're talking about a difference in quality. You sell good chitim and it turns out they were bad. So in that case, who could be chozerbo? Lokeach yachol lachzorbo. Ra'ot v'nimtzu'u yafot. If you say you're selling bad chitim, meaning you sell them for a low price, and it turns out they were good chitim, mocher yachol lachzorbo. Obviously, there's a big question here. What do you mean? The mocher didn't know what he was selling, right? Usually, the mocher is the one who has the upper hand. He knows what he's selling. What do you mean? He said, I'm selling you bad ones, and it turns out they were good ones. So some people explain that maybe he was selling a bag and he never opened the bag and that he got it from someone and transferred it to him and he didn't realize that what he was selling happened to be good schora and he thought it was bad schora. He'd come up with interpretations where he wouldn't necessarily have known. So the seller is allowed to be chozerbo because it wasn't what he was planning to sell. The implicit assumption here is that only one side can be chozer in each case. The other side can't be chozer. Like, for example, we're going to see this in the Gemara. Let's say there's a price fluctuation after, okay, let's say the first case. I say I'm selling you bad ones. I say I'm selling you good ones, and it turns out they were bad, and you claim, hey, you know, whatever. Let's say you don't claim anything. Let's say you don't say it so now. But it turns out the price then goes down. Up, and I want to cancel the sale because I'm going to get a better price for them. So, the assumption here is I can't start canceling at this point, okay? Because even though I kind of did a sale that wasn't a good sale, if you're not complaining about it, right, you're the only one who has the right to complain, not me. Okay, so it depends, again, which direction, who has the right to complain, only that person and not anyone else. Shchamtit v'nimtzeit levana. Let's say I was selling red chitim, And it turns out there were white chitim. I say I'm selling you red. Okay, so according to one of the commentaries, the difference between red and white is that red, each one has a strength to it, right? In other words, it's not like one is better, one is worse. Each one has something good about it. Red generally makes more flour, but white generally makes a better flour. Okay, so if I say I'm selling you red, and it turns out they were white, levanav nimtzeit shchamtit, okay, let's say I say they were white, and it turns out they were red, or I say I'm selling you etzim shel zayit. Did I skip one? I skipped something, sorry. Go back. Okay, so let's just go through. The arba midot b'machuim, right? So, chitin yafot v'nimtzu ra'ot. In that case, the lokeh can be chozer bo. If I say I'm selling you bad ones, and it turns out they were good, the mocher yachol lachzor bo. Here, I missed this one. Ra'ot v'nimtzu ra'ot. Yafot v'nimtzu yafot. Ein echad mehem yachol lachzor bo. I say I'm selling you bad ones, and it turns out they were bad. Okay, this is, right, an obvious one, you would say. If I say I'm selling you good ones, it turns out they were good. So, neither side could be chozer bo. Again, even if the price fluctuates down the road, right? Before you actually give me the money and all of a sudden the price goes up or the price goes down, right? Nobody can be chozer bo. And the fourth one is this last case, which I started, which is, if I say they were red, shchamtit v'nimtzei levana, it turns out they were white. Levana v'nimtza shchamtit, okay, I said they were white, but it turns out they were red. Eitzim shel zayit v'nimtzu shel shikma, I'm selling you olive trees, but it turns out I sold you sycamore trees. Shel shikma v'nimtzu shel zayit, or the reverse. Yayin v'nimtza chometz, wine, but it turns out it was vinegar. Chometz v'nimtza yayin, I say I'm selling you vinegar, it turns out it was wine. Shnehem yicholim lachzor b'hem. Both people can change their minds, and even if you might say, let's say with the chometz and the yayin, right? Yayin is obviously better than chometz. Everybody knows you're going to spend more money on wine than you are on vinegar. But maybe I didn't want wine, right? Maybe I wanted vinegar as the buyer. So I could be chozer bo and say, hey, that's not what I ordered. Right? You're getting something different. Might be I'm getting something better, but it's not what I need. I needed the vinegar. Okay, so therefore, these are items that are totally different things, and therefore each side could be chozer. It's a basic mekach taut. Okay, so four cases. The first two, we said only one side could be chozer bo, and each case it was a different one. The third case, we saw it was basically what we said, and therefore no one could be chozer. And the last case, where both sides could be chozer b'hem, because the item was a totally different item. Okay, even if you say they're similar, right, like two types of wheat, or two, you know, wine, vinegar, which come from the same thing. Now comes Rav Chisda's statement. Rav Chisda makes a statement. The way we're going to have it is like this. Rav Chisda talks about something. We kind of support Rav Chisda from our Mishnah. And then we say, well, if the Mishnah basically says this, then what was Rav Chisda adding? Okay? I'm Rav Chisda. Machar lo shaveh chamesh b'shesh. Here we get to real ona'ah. In the Mishnah, we weren't talking about prices. We were talking about quality, right? Good versus bad, or a little bit of a, you know, different something like wine versus vinegar. But we weren't really talking about the prices. Comes Rav Chisda and he says like this. If you sell Shaveh Chamesh B'Shesh, I'm not going to get into this, but we had a whole dealing with this about whether Shaveh Chamesh B'Shesh, or right, which case is really Ona'ah. Is it just Ona'ah based on the actual price, or is it Ona'ah based on what you're spending? In other words, this, how do we calculate the sixth? This obviously goes in the opinion of Shmuel, who says we calculate the sixth even based on Ona'ah of the money. In other words, the sixth of whatever you're paying for it. So Am Rav Chisda, Machar lo shaveh chamesh b'shesh. If you sell something that's worth chamesh, but you sell it for shesh, the assumption is in this case there is ona'ah of a sixth. Okay? Vihukar v'amar al shmoneh. And then the price went up and became eight. Okay, so now, if I sell you chamesh b'shesh, who's the ona'ah against? And who's getting cheated? The buyer's getting cheated. Right? Because I sell you something that's worth five, and I sell it to you for six. So, if assuming I'm the seller, you're the buyer, you're getting cheated, right? But now what happens? You have rights to change your mind. But I already made reference to this when we learned the Mishnah, even though it didn't say it explicitly. But now what happens? Hukar v'amar al shmoneh. At this point, the price goes up, and it goes up to eight. At this point, value. It's the value of the item. Okay, so I can now sell this same item for eight. So even though I wasn't cheated in the first case, I was actually doing the cheating, but now I'm losing out. So since this is a case of ona'ah, And you might have thought that, well, if there's ona'ah, so there could be, what do we learn? Bitul mekach. You could cancel the transaction. So I could try to come and say, hey, you know what? I cheated you. Let's cancel this transaction, and now I go sell it to somebody else
Why
for eight.
Why do you have to say you cheated? In any case, even if it had been valued at six, it has gone up. You don't have to say you cheated.
No, because what happened is, what do you mean? When I sold you an item that's worth five, I sold it to you for six. I cheated you.
Right.
Okay? But now the item went up to eight. At that point, now that the price changed, first of all, you weren't cheated anymore, although you were at the time when I charged you that amount. And now I'm losing out. So I claim, oh, you know, I actually cheated you. Let's cancel that mekach, and I want to go settle it now for eight.
So you're canceling it based on the cheating, not based on the price change.
Well, so yafeh. So what the real issue here is that I'm not going to be able to do this. Okay, but I'm hoping I could do it. Why? Because the sale never really fully took place because it was a sale that could have been canceled. You could have canceled it. Now, in the end, you didn't cancel it. But then you were smart for not canceling it because in the end, the price went up. But the question is, do I have rights to cancel at this point, claiming that if I sold you something for five, it was worth five and I sold it to you for five, I can't cancel that just because right now the prices went up. That's my loss. But the question is, if I did this cheating, right? Now, obviously, why is Rav Chisda going to say this doesn't work? Okay, one of them first should say, Shalo yehe chote niskar. That's, what, because I cheated you, now I gain from it? If I hadn't cheated you, I certainly wouldn't have been able to be chozer. So what does Rav Chisda say? Minit daneh, who was cheated? The lokach. And therefore, lokach echol achzor bo velo mocher. Okay, therefore, in this case, only the buyer could be chozer bo. The mocher can't be chozer bo, the seller. Why? Mishum da'amarle, because the lokach can say, ilu lo onitan, if you hadn't cheated me, lo hava matzah hadar b'cha, you wouldn't have been able to cancel this mekach just because the prices went up. Hashda da onitan, matzah hadar b'cha, just because now you cheated me, now you're going to be able to be chozer bo? No way. V'tana tuna, and furthermore, our Mishnah can support this. Okay, yo, how so? Because the Mishnah says yafot v'nimtzu ra'ot lokeach yachol lachzor bo, and the assumption is just the lokeach velo mocher. Okay, as we said in our Mishnah, I already referenced this earlier so that you'd understand when they brought this as a proof why this works as a proof. Okay, that's the first case. Now Rav Chisda brings the second case, which is the flip. Amar Rav Chisda machar lo shaveh shesh b'chamesh. Let's say the seller undercharged. I undercharged you. And then all of a sudden the price jumps down to three. And you as the buyer wants to cancel this transaction because you could buy the same thing only at three now instead of paying the five that you paid. Again, who was cheated in this case? The mocher. And therefore, mocher yachol lachzor bo velo lokeach. In this case, only the seller can be chozer bo and not the buyer. Da'amar le, because the mocher could say, ilu lo nitan, if you hadn't underpaid me, lo hava matzit hadra b'cha, you wouldn't have been able to, I'm sorry, if you hadn't underpaid me, right, if there was no ona'ah, you wouldn't have been able to be chozer bo just because the next day the prices jumped down. Hashta matzit hadra b'cha, now you think you're going to be able to be chozer bo? No way. B'tana tuna, and furthermore, the Mishnah proves this, because ra'ot v'nimtzu'u yafot, if I sell you bad ones, and it turns out I didn't realize, but they were actually good quality merchandise. Who can be chozer bo? Only mocher yachol lachzor bo velo lokeach. Okay? And therefore, the assumption is if there's some price change and the lokeach wants to be chozer bo, he's not allowed to be. So now the obvious question, as I already told you, is going to be, my kamash malama, what's Rav Chisda being mechadesh? Matnitin hi. It's already the Mishnah says it. Okay, now here there's a big problem with the Girsaot. There's a lot of different ways of understanding. I'm going to explain it one way, even though there's each way obviously has difficulties, but we'll go with one approach here. Imi matnitin, if from the Mishnah, hava amina dilma d'Rav Chisda travaihu matze hadrapahu. Umatnitin, okay, so now, if we just had our Mishnah, what would we have thought? That the case of Rav Chisda, we might have thought that both of them can be chozer bo. Why? Okay, we haven't read this yet, but it doesn't say this inside. This is where the interpretation comes in. Okay, and then in a minute we'll get to what the Mishnah is. We'll move on to the Mishnah in a minute. But the assumption is that what's the difference with the Rav Chisda and the Mishnah? I already said this when we were learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah, there's no actual ona'ah, right? It's just a difference in quality, right? Quality of the merchandise, not in the actual price of what you paid. doesn't talk about prices at all in the Mishnah. So you might have thought the Mishnah is only dealing with if it's a fluctuation in quality. But Rav Chisda, where there's actually real ona'ah. Now, again, what does ona'ah mean? Ona'ah is somewhat equated. I'm going to say somewhat because we saw different interpretations about at what rate is this the case. But in many cases of ona'ah, we hold that there's bitul mekach. The whole transaction is canceled. It's almost like a mekach ta'ut. That's different from saying, well, I got poor quality. That's not the same thing.
So, the market price.
So it's true the Mishnah doesn't really relate to what you know, like we saw in the Mishnah a few Mishnayot ago about ma'ot, right? If we can look at the price and the price can prove whether, right, what quality you wanted. But I'm assuming here it's not as clear cut. Maybe there's price fluctuations and it's not so clear what exactly the difference in quality. So now the assumption is that when it comes to Rav Chisda, since there's real ona, now in the end, there is no difference, right? Rav Chisda is saying something that the Mishnah would support also, but the whole issue is why did Rav Chisda need to state it? And it wasn't so clear cut in the Mishnah. So the assumption is it wasn't clear enough in the Mishnah because the Mishnah wasn't, let's put it this way, wasn't relating to prices, wasn't talking about it. So therefore, you might say where there's clear cut ona'ah in the price, like chamesh b'shesh, or shesh b'chamesh, in that case, maybe you would think that since the transaction was faulty to begin with, that maybe both sides can be chozerbo. But when it comes to the Mishnah, and here you'll see, okay, maybe this will prove what the difference is, and this is the part where it's a little complicated to explain, but umatnitin, now if you look in the Aleph, it's sent to Agarabach, it has a totally different nosach, so you skip the next line and a half. Umatnitin, okay, now here you have to add words, Hainu ta'ama, okay, the reason in the Mishnah is, and now skip down to the very last line before the Y, before the Nikudotayim, Dichtiv ra yomara kone. Okay, you skip a whole line and a half here. The Mishnah, the reason is because of this pasuk in Mishle, which says, ra yomara kone, okay, va'oza lo az yitalal. Okay, which basically means that when a buyer buys something, he always complains about the merchandise. Okay, he always says the merchandise is bad. Now, why is this relevant? So the assumption is that in the Mishnah, when they were discussing bad versus good, maybe you could say that when I said, okay, let's go through each case. Okay, the first case is yafot v'nimtzu'u ra'ot. So I said I'm selling you good stuff, and it turns out they were bad. So now, it could be, what we're going to say in the Mishnah is, it could be that they really agreed in the first place. And when he said, there was really no on mo, like we said, it was just a matter of the quality. And quality is something that's very subjective, right? And it could be that they were actually agreeing, as you might have thought that. So in the Yafot v'nimtzu'u ra'ot, the Mishnah is coming to tell you, only the lokeach can be chozer. Why? Because if the mocher wanted, if the mocher says, hey, look, I said I was selling you ra'ot, yafot, and it turns out they were ra'ot, and he wants to be chozer bo, maybe because there was a price fluctuation, because obviously why else would the mocher want to be chozer bo? But in this case, what can he say? The lokeach can claim, but I got bad schora, but I assumed, I always call the schora bad. Therefore, when you said yafot, I assumed the schora was going to be bad. I didn't have any expectations, right? So when I agreed to yafot, I obviously meant that they were going to be ra'ot, because I always think ma'od, that the chitim were going to be ra'ot, because I'm always down on, you know, konim are always critical of the schora. And therefore, the lokeach can be to'en, there was really no ona'ah in this case. Okay, that's where this is different from a case of chamesh b'shesh, or shesh b'chamesh, where there's clear-cut ona'ah. In this case, one could say that's what I really meant in the first place. You called it yafot, but I called it ra'ot from the beginning, because I always call them ra'ot. So the lokeach can say, hey, mocher, you can't say there was ona'ah here, or I didn't get what I wanted, because I actually did get what I wanted. I knew from the beginning they were going to be ra'ot. And in the other case of ra'ot v'nimtzu'u yafot, when the buyer says, I'm selling you ra'ot, and it turns out they were yafot, in that case, what do we say? The lokeach can be chozerbo, because he said, the mocher, the seller, can say, I didn't realize. But the lokeach can't be chozerbo, because what could happen? The lokeach could try to say, right, you said they were ra'ot, and they're not. So he could say, I only called them ra'ot, because I knew you were going to call them ra'ot. right? I really meant yafot, the mocher could say. Let's say, right, in this case, the mocher doesn't want to be chozer bo for whatever reason. So he could say... It's that one. It's not yours. Okay. So he could say that when I call them ra'ot, I was only calling them ra'ot because that's what you call them, but I really meant yafot. So you follow, because they can play around with the terminology of yafot and ra'ot, therefore, the Mishnah wouldn't necessarily lead us to the case where there's actually ona'ah. So in the case where there's actually ona'ah, we would say very clearly, when there's ona'ah, then maybe each side, could, right, the opposite side could be chozer bo, because there really was never a mekach to begin with. Whereas in the case of the Mishnah, again, it's all subjective, and one could claim there really was no ona'ah here. When I said ra'ot, I meant yafot. I just called them ra'ot because that's the way the konim called them. So therefore, comes Rav Chisda, and he has to teach us, even in my case, where there's real ona'ah, still only the side, and this is again, shelo yehei chotei niskar, only the side that was taken advantage of is allowed to be chozer bo. Okay, so you might have thought that we couldn't derive it from the Mishnah, so it comes from Chisda and he teaches it explicitly. Okay, so therefore, if you're going to cheat someone and then the prices are going to change to your disadvantage, you can't claim, oh, well, there was never really a Mecca. Okay, the one thing that's not mentioned here, which I didn't look up enough, which I'm going to leave open as a question because I don't know, is at what point are we talking about, right? Oh, I guess we learned it with ona'ah. I'm trying to remember now. I think there's a debate, if I remember correctly, how much time you have to claim that it was ona'ah. I think there's a whole machlok about it. Is it maybe 24 hours? Is there? I don't remember all the detail at the end of the business day. There's a machlok that we saw it then. I don't remember, but I guess that would be relevant here as to what time frame are we discussing here. Because obviously, you know, 3 years later, you're not going to start, right? But I think there was an opinion that said, like, you can down the road even cancel it. So I guess whatever would have been true there in regular ona'ah would have, you know, would apply here in terms of who could be chozer bo. And in terms of trying to tell us, well, you can't be chozer bo if the price has changed. Okay, now we get a really, I would say, kind of strange sugya, very short. Shchamtit v'nimtzet levana. This thing about the red fitim. Now, I'm sure you thought about this. When you saw the word shchamtit, you said, hey, where does that come from, right? Never heard the word red spoken as shchamtit. Okay, one, first of all, a word that we do see red is sumka. Okay, sumka comes up a lot, which means red. That's like the one of the shades of red that's discussed. We're going to see it here. But shchamtit, I certainly never heard that means red. So the Gemara also apparently didn't hear that. So now they're going to say, Amra papa midikatani levana shma mina hai shimsha sumkatihi. What does Rav Papa say? He says, from the fact, what does Rav Papa know? Rav Papa knows there's two types of wheat. And he knows that one type of wheat is white and one type of wheat is red. Okay? So now, what he's going to assume is, when the Mishnah says shchamtit, they're assuming that what's the root of shchamtit? So first of all, the first assumption is they know that there's white wheat and red wheat. So therefore, what they're assuming is, since it says livana, livana is clearly red. That's always, I'm sorry, livana is white. And where does livana come from? From Lavan, and also what's called the Levana, the moon. And what's Shchamtit, the root of Shchamtit? Chama, the sun. So they're saying from here we can derive, since Levana is clearly white, okay, therefore we can assume that Shchamtit must be red. Now, if Shchamtit is red and it comes from Chama, which is sun, it must mean, Rav Papa says, Midikatani Levana, Shma Mina, we can assume that what? Hai Shimsha, the Shemesh, the sun, is sumaktihi. The real color of the sun is red. Okay, we're deriving now what color is the sun, right? Because the sun looks different colors at different times of day, right? So, teda dekasam katsafra upanya, right? We know that it's red because in the, right, when it rises and when it sets, the sun is red. Vahai delo chazine kule yoma, nehorinhu delo bari. The fact that we don't see it as red all day long, it's because of the way the light reflects, right? We can't see the sun clearly during the day. So therefore, the assumption is that its real color is what you see at sunrise and sunset. And what you see during the day, which looks yellowish, right? That's just a reflection of the colors. And that we can all derive from the Mishnah. Okay? The fact that it calls Shchamtit red. So now they say, wait a minute. Metive, there's a braita that contradicts this. What's the braita? Umar eyu amok bin ha'or. It's talking about the nigaim, right? And it looks deeper than the skin. Kimar echama amukam in atzel. Just like the sun is deeper than the shadow. And now, if they're comparing the way the nega tzarat looks, and they're saying it looks like the way the sun is deeper than the shadow. I have to admit, I don't 100% understand what they mean about the sun deeper than the shadow, but they're talking about depths of color. And the assumption is that what? If they're comparing the nega to the sun, hatam lavanhu, right? The nega is lavan, is white. Okay, so if the nega is white, here they're comparing it to the sun, and they're comparing it that it's white like the sun. So then they said, no, they're not comparing the color, they're comparing the depth perception. So that's what they're going to answer. Kimar echama velo kimar echama. It's like the sun in one way, but not like the sun in another way. Kimar echama da mukamen atzel velo kimar echama di ilo hatam lavan v'hacha adom. That doesn't disprove anything, because what they're saying is it's like the chama in the sense that the shadow is that the color is deeper than the shadow, which, by the way, they mean. Okay, the Koran had a good footnote on this where they said that in modern art, something is deeper, it's darker. If you want to show depth, you show it darker. And the assumption of this sugya is the opposite. If you want to show depth, you show something bright. That if it's brighter, it shows that it's deeper from the skin. In other words, that's what if the maren, the nega is very bright, it'll look deeper than the skin. And here also, like the sun looks deeper than the shadow. Again, I don't exactly know what it means, deeper than the shadow. But they're basically saying that it's talking about depth perception, and it's not talking about velokim or echama in terms of the color. They weren't talking about the color. They weren't comparing the white of the nega to the white of the sun. They were comparing the way, the brightness of it, that it looks deeper. Okay, so that was the first thing we said, which is kind of, it seems to contradict, but they said, no, that's not a contradiction. The next thing they're going to say is, what were they thinking in the first place when they thought that it was not red, right? In other words, what was the first assumption? Ulamai desalik datem meikara, right? When Rav Papa had to say, we can infer from here that the sun is red, it means that maybe somebody thought otherwise, right? So now, what are they going to say? What did they think in the beginning? Ha kasam katsafra upanya. In other words, if you really say the sun is, let's say, whitish or yellowish, okay? And that just at sunrise and sunset, it looks red, right? Now, our Gemara says, sunrise and sunset is its actual colors, and the yellow it looks during the day is just a reflection of the light. If you want to say it's the opposite, which they might have thought before a Papa made his statement, what did they think? Why does it turn red when it rises and sets? So here's going to be another interesting explanation. B'tzafra d'chalpa abe v'rade d'gan Eden. In the morning, it looks like it looks red because it's passing by the roses of Gan Eden as the sun rises. And the pink roses, right, the red roses, cause the sun to look red. Bepanya dechalfa apitcha de Gehenom. And in the evening, it passes by the shadow of Gehenom, which obviously has fire, right, the fiery shadow of Gehenom. Vikadam re ifcha. And some people say it's actually the opposite. In the morning, it passes by Gehenom. In the evening, it passes by Gan Eden. Okay, you could probably take this somewhere in terms of what they're really trying to say here. I don't think they actually thought that you see the roses of Gan Eden, but they're trying to make an image of, you know, your day and how the sun is almost like coming from a different world, maybe. Okay. Yayin v'nimtza chometz, shnehem yecholim lachzor behen. Okay, if you have yayin and you try to sell yayin and it turns out it was chometz, both of them can be chozer behen. Lema manitim rebihi velo rabbanan. Are you trying to say this Mishnah holds like Rebbe and not Rabbanan? Titania, yayin v'chometz min echadhu. Tanakama holds that yayin and chometz are one type of product. Okay, they're really one of the same thing. Rebbe omer shnei minim. So now, according to this machloket, what would you say? If you say that they're both one min, then you would say, if I sell yayin and it turns out chometz, so you bought the same thing, it's more like the ra'ot v'nimtzu, or yafot v'nimtzu ra'ot. Okay? So therefore, it sounds like our Mishnah is not passing like Tanakama, but actually like Rebbe, who says shnei minim. And we never like to do that, right? We never like to say, oh, it's only siding on one side if we can avoid it. So now they're going to say, ah, no. Afilu tema rabbanan, ag kan lo plige rabbanan ale de Rebbe, ela linyam masir v'truma. Ukid Rabbi Ila. So now he says, no, their machloket, Rabbi and Rabbanan, was only about Truma, and that doesn't apply to Mekach u'Memkar. Now we're going to talk about what the difference is. Do you mind opening the window? Uh-huh. Okay, so what do we say here? Da'ama Rabbi Ila, minayin l'toreh min hara'al hayafa, shetrumato truma. You remember this? We've learned it before, right? You can't take, if you have, let's say, bad produce and good produce, you can't say, I'm going to take the truma from the bad produce, right? Why? Because it says, b'lo tisu alav chet, b'harimchem et chelbo mimenu. So the pasuk says, you won't get punished, right? You won't get a chet if you take the chelbo. The chelbo, the assumption of the chelbo, we've learned this before, means the best. If you take from the best, you won't get a chet. When? Baharimchem et trumotechem. Okay? When you take your truma. So now, baharimchem, oh, sorry, ve'et kotche b'nei Yisrael lo techalalu ve'lo tamutu. Right? The pasuk is, you won't get a chet when you take the good from it, right? And you then, in that way, et kotche b'nei Yisrael lo techalalu, you won't desecrate the kotche b'nei Yisrael. So now, what is the Gemara? What does Rabbi Ila say? We have to go back to the beginning because I didn't explain his statement yet. You have to understand all that to get here. It's asur. Everyone agrees that it's asur to take the bad from the good for, you know, for the truma of good stuff. So let's say you have yayin and chometz. You can't take the chometz as your truma for the wine. Now, what are we saying here? But what if you did? Let's say you did it anyway. It's asur to do, but if you do it, your truma counts. That's what Rabbi Ila is saying. Minayin l'toreh min hara'al hayafa, shetrumato truma. It actually works. How do we know it actually works? Because the pasuk says, right, and there's two options of what could happen. If you take chometz instead of yayin, we could say, well, that's just doesn't count at all. It's not even truma. But they say, no, no, no. It actually is truma. It's just usher to do it. But if you do it, it counts as truma. How do we know? Because it says in the pasuk, "V'lo tisu alav chet barimchem echelbo mimenu." V'imeino kadosh nisiut chet lama. If you're not even, if it's not even effective, well, then you haven't been mechalel kodesh b'nei Yisrael because it's not kodeshim. It's not truma, right? Truma is kodesh. If it doesn't work, then it's not even truma. So therefore, it proves that this works. We've seen this line before. So therefore, what do we say? Mikan l'toreh min hara'al hayafa shetrumato truma. Okay. So now, what are we going to say here? That's where they have a machloket, is yayin and chometz min echad or shnei minim. Meaning, do we call chometz yayin to the extent that if you took chometz for yayin, we'd say, this is one min and it's just the bad on the good, and your truma will be truma. According to Rebbe, who says there's shnei minim, he won't even think that this is truma at all, because it's not even the same mean. In order for truma to be effective, it has to be from the same mean. But if you bring in fruits from your trees and take truma to masrot on them, and you bring lemons and oranges and grapefruits, and you take a piece of lemon on all of them, that doesn't work. They're two different meanim. So their whole machloket was all about, is this considered one mean or two meanim in terms of truma to masrot? But when it comes to mekach u'memkar, dekulei alma ika dinicha lebachamra velo nicha lebachala, chamra is wine and chala is vinegar. But when it comes to sales, and that's when it comes to truma to masra, you can have a machloket. Shnei minim, is it one mean? Right? Does it work? Doesn't it work? But when it comes to mekach u'memkar, everyone will agree with what Rebbe said there, that they're two different meaning, because when you buy something, you either want wine or you want vinegar, and you could say, that's not what I wanted. That's not what I, right? So therefore, or that's not what I was trying to sell you. So therefore, when it comes to mekach u'memkar, they'll all agree, okay? In which case, our mission is not only Rebbe's opinion. Because Rebbe, right, you can't always copy a machloka from one place and copy it to a different place, right? The laws of truma u'masrot are going to be different than the laws of sales. Because in the laws of sales, it's important what your intent was, right? Whereas in the laws of truma u'masrot, it's more important what it's considered in the world of objects. Is this one meaning? Is it two meaning? When it comes to sales, people's interest level is very important. So just because you could call them, they come from the same family, it doesn't mean that's what you wanted to purchase. Okay, new Mishnah. Now we're going to get into kinyanim, when you acquire things. Hamochir perot l'chavero, you sell fruits to your friend. Mashach, obviously not necessarily your friend, anybody. Mashach velo madad kana. If the buyer does mashicha, he pulls it, and he doesn't measure it, Okay, it's not measured out yet. He's still kone. Okay, kinya mashicha. Madad velo mashach, lo kana. If he measures it but doesn't pull it, okay, now who measures? There's a debate about who's the one who measures it, okay, or how is it being measured. So some of them, so the Mefreshim say that it must be, we're talking about, right, it could be you're talking about measuring it in the kelim of the mocher. Because if you measured it in the kelim of the buyer, then already the buyer would have not even meshicha, it would be hagbaha. He lifts it to put it into his kelim, already there's a kinyan hagbaha. Okay, potentially, or you could call it maybe, right, probably hagbaha. That's what the Rimi Gash says. Other people say, no, even if it's in the kelim of the buyer, if you're putting it in your kelim for measuring purposes, you didn't have the intent to actually acquire it. Why do you measure things? Because you want to see how much is in there before you buy it. And therefore, even if you lift it to put it in your own kelim to measure it, you're doing it for measuring purposes and you're not doing it for acquiring purposes. And this shows that a kinyan has to have machshava. Mm-hmm. And that according to those mefarshim, it actually doesn't work. Okay, even in the kelim of the buyer, it wouldn't be effective. So there's a whole machloket about whether we mean only madad in the kelim of the seller or even in the kelim of the buyer. So madad lo mashach lo kana. Im haya pikach, if you were smart, okay, I'm not exactly sure what you saved by doing this, but the assumption is if you don't want to do mashicha for whatever reason, let's say you're not there and you can't do mashicha, socheret mikoman, you rent the space where they are and then you acquire it. We've learned this before, right, that your chatzer could be kone, your reshut could be kone. Now, to me, it seems like making up a rental contract is going to be more complicated than just pulling it. That's why I'm saying I don't know why you would do this, but I guess the assumption is that you're not there physically. So you can work out a contract from a distance to rent the place, rent the space, and then you can actually acquire it without having to. And why are you obviously in such a rush? Because you're worried the price will change or the guy will change his mind about selling it to you for that price, and you want to lock into that price right then. So you rent the space, and then your space acquires it for you. Halokech pishtan mechavero. The assumption with pishtan is that it's very light and easy to carry. Hareze lo kana ad shitatalenu mimakom lamakom. So instead of mashicha, this is what we call hagbaha, even though it doesn't say it in the words hagbaha. I don't know why it doesn't. But yitatalenu mimakom lamakom, you move it from place to place, really means, the Mefreshim explained, this is hagbaha, lifting it. Ve'im haya mechubar lakarka, if the pishtan was attached to the ground, v'talash kol shu kana, and you just pulled it out from the ground, then you'd be kona. Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara starts with this. Madad, we talk about this, madad velo mashach lo kana. So now he says, well, it depends what you did. He says, madad v'hiniach agabe simta kana. The assumption is that where are you buying this? In the Rashid Arabim. Now we've talked about this before, right? Imagine the cardo. There's this, you know, long shuk. And then there are these little alcoves off to the side. Okay, so now in the alcoves was more like a private space where people would talk if they wanted to, quiet space, or okay, and it's already not exactly Rashid Arabim. So if you measured it and then you put it on the simta, kana, you be kone. Okay, so if you measure it out and then put it in the simta, since it's not really Rashid Arabim anymore in that simta, therefore you can already be kone. So Amarle Rabbi Zera, the Rabbi Asi, Shema lo shama Rebbe, Ella b'moded l'toch kupato. He's saying maybe what you really meant is, right, shamala shama Rebbe, ella b'moded l'toch kupato. That what we're talking about is if you measure it out, you put it into the simta in a container that belonged to the buyer. In other words, he's trying to say it can't possibly be that you just put it down on the ground in the simta, that would acquire it to the buyer. There's no act actually of him, right? This is obviously without mashicha. It's that the seller takes the item and he sticks it on the simta for the buyer. Okay, does that mean he acquires it just because he put it on the ground? So Rabbi Zera says, do you mean to say that he put it inside the kelim of the buyer and put them down in the simta? Okay. Now let's hear Rabbi Asi's reaction to his question. Amarle, dame hai mirabanan. Okay, that's his way of talking to Rabbi Zera. You, Rabbi, okay, you're like someone, kidelo gamre inshe shmate. You're like someone who's never learned a piece of Torah before. Okay, and you don't know what you're talking about. Okay, very harsh words. Madad letoch kupato, mem rabbi. You think I would need to waste my breath saying that if you put it in the kelim of the buyer and put them down in the simta, he acquires it? That's obviously he's going to acquire it. I wouldn't need to waste my breath saying something like that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, what I meant is you can just put it on the ground of the simta, and that basically causes it to be acquired to the buyer. Okay, even though the buyer didn't actually pull it. Okay, so when it says in the Mishnah, Madad, velo mashach, lo kana, what he wants to say is, but Madad, and he puts it on Gabe Simta, that would be sufficient. Okay, and Rabbi Zeira was saying it would only work if you put it in his kupa. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute. After this whole interaction between Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Ami, kibla mine or lo kibla mine? Did Rabbi Ami agree with Rabbi Asi or not? Did he accept his, what?
Rabbi Zeira.
Did Rabbi Zeira, I assume it's Rabbi Zeira, agree with
Rabbi Asi?
Rabbi Asi. Right. In other words, Rabbi Asi criticized Rabbi Zeira and said, you're wrong. And the question is, did Rabbi Zeira accept what Rabbi Asi said and agree with him that has to be, that it can even be on the ground, he would acquire it? Or does Rabbi Zeira still stick, even though he got totally insulted, right? And he said, you're crazy for thinking this. Maybe Rabbi Zeira still stuck with his original thought that it had to be betoch kupato. So now we're going to prove that, in fact, it's true that Rabbi Zeira did hold with his original thing. Okay, we'll have a few attempts. Some of them will work, some of them won't. Tashma, let's learn it from here. Da amar Rabbi Yanai amar Rabbi. Okay, and the assumption is, Makorin, they said that Rabbi Zeira, I think, was a, no, Rabbi Zeira. Ah, right. This was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yoch about this. Right, Rabbi Asi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Madavi Necha Gabesim Takana, and Rabbi Yochanan was a student of Rabbi Yanai. So the assumption is that he must agree with Rabbi Yanai. Dam Rabbi Yanai Amar Rebbe, Chatzara Shutafim Konim Zemize. What does this mean? This means that if we own a shared property, now there's always an issue of putting your stuff down. If you put stuff down on your own property, so that shows you acquire it. If you put it in Rashid Arabim, there's no kinyan, right? You can't even do Mashiach in Rashid Arabim. It doesn't work. So what if we have this joint property? So if you put it down in the joint property, according to Rabbi Yanai, chatzer shutafim konim zemizeh, I can acquire an item if I share the chatzer with you, and I do this kinyan in the, right, I put it down in the chatzer shutafim, I can acquire it. My lav al gabe karka, don't we mean al gabe karka, that I put it on the ground? In other words, that's what it means here, which would then prove that what? We're going to compare a chatzar shutafin is very much like the simta, because what's a simta? It's owned by a few people. It's really not owned by anybody, right? But it's more of a private rishut within rishut arabim, right? And therefore, I can acquire it by putting, right? So the assumption is my lav al gabe karka, which would then actually prove, so the first attempt is to prove that Rabbi Zeira actually agrees with Rabbi Asi, because here we see the Rabbi Yochanan said chatzar shutafin konim zemizeh, and then the answer, lo, letoch kupato. No, you could say that maybe it means chatzar shutafin konim zemizeh only if you put it in your own container within the chatzar shutafin. In which case, this doesn't really prove either which way, whether he accepted it or not. But what we're going to try to show is this shows that Rabbi Zeira is right, and hachinami mistabra, and here we're going to further prove that Rabbi Zeira stuck to what he said originally, to amar Rabbi Yaakov, amar Rabbi Yochanan, again in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, madad v'hiniach al gabe simta lo kana. Here we have the exact opposite statement of Rabbi Yochanan, right? Where madad v'hiniach in simta doesn't work. Kashina hadade, we now have two statements of Rabbi Yochanan, obviously mentioned by different people, right? Rabbi Asi said, madad v'hiniach al gabe simta kana, according to Rabbi Yochanan. And here Rabbi Yaakov says, Rabbi Yochanan said, madad v'hiniach al gabe simta lo kana. So what's the obvious resolution to this contradiction? And there's perfect proof for Rabbi Asi. One statement was al gabe akarka, which wouldn't work. And only if you put it letoch kupato, inside the kelim of the mocher, of the buyer, would it actually work. Shmamina. Okay, so therefore we can infer that. Next source, where we're going to infer also Rabbi Zeira. Madav v'lo mashach lo kana, our Mishnah. It says, madav v'lo mashach lo kana. My lav b'simta, are we not discussing in a simta, right? That it wouldn't work. So now they say, lo, b'rishit harabim. No, we could also be saying, it's talking about rishit harabim. So now, ihachi em aresha, mashach v'lo madag kana, mishicha b'rishit harabim mikanya. How could you possibly say the Mishnah is talking about rishit harabim? Okay? Because there is no Mashiach and Rishad Arabim, right? The Reisha says you can do Mashiach, and Mashiach and Rishad Arabim doesn't work. But Mashiach Kone B'Simtau B'Chatzer Shishal Shnehem, Ba'agba Kone B'Chomakom, which shows, according to this, right, where everything can be done, and it clearly shows that Mashiach, Abai, and Rava both agree that it can only work in a Simta. So what do they answer? So what do they explain? My Mashach Nami Dekatane Mereshut HaRabim L'Simta. Okay, it must be from Reshut HaRabim to the Simta, your Moshech into the Simta, which would then prove that, wait, so Mada V'Lo Mashach, right, Mada V'Lo Mashach would have to be, right, if Mashach V'Lo Madad is in the Simta, because it can't be in Reshut HaRabim, so Mada V'Lo Mashach would also be in the Simta. And if Mada V'Lo Mashach is in Koneh, then obviously it would have to be, why is it not Koneh? Because Al-Gabe Karka. And Karka doesn't work, and that proves Rabbi Zeri that has to be within his kupa. So now they say, wait a minute. If you're going to say that the whole mission is not a Reshut HaRabim, Yihachi Yema Sefer, what about the last case? And if you were smart, what would you do? You rent the space. Well, if the space is in Reshut HaRabim, right? V'ib Reshut HaRabim, Miman Agar, who are you renting it from? So what are the answer? Hachi Kamar, this is how you read it. V'im B'Reshut Baalim Hi, Imaya Pikech Socheret Mekoman. You'd have to say, I'm going to explain this one way. There's another way to explain it, but I'll just explain it. We're at the end of today's time anyway, so I'll just explain it quickly according to one interpretation. The Mishnah, the first two sections, Madav v'lo Mashach v'lo Madad, Madav v'lo Mashach are in the Simta, okay? And then the Mishnah says, and if you were in Reshut Baalim and you wanted to acquire it quickly, what you would do is you socher mekoman. Okay, there's some people that say that you can read the whole Mishnah that way, but we're going to leave it as the Mishnah shifts gears at that point and goes into a different type of case, where if you're in Reshut HaRabim and not if you're in the Simta. Okay.